The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. And it lines on through till one. We're open line today. If you've got anything you'd like to follow up on what was said yesterday for education, sport and culture with the minister and the two political members, Daphne Kane MHK, Sarah Motley MHK and Paul Crane MLC, then by all means do get in touch. Busy old day on the Isle of Man. Of course, the Southern Hundreds on the way at Belown. It's all underway there. The commentary team doing a great job. Tim Glover, Rob Pritchard and Chris Kinley on duty till later on today. That's on AM 1368. And our sports editor, Rob Pritchard's got a busy week as he's off to Orkney for the Island Games that start at the weekend. We'll be on, of course, every day. We'll have reports from what's happening at Orkney with all our sports people. And if you're involved in it, I do hope all's gone well. I hope the preparation and the practice come to fruition in the next week or so. It's always a great occasion. It's end of term a week tomorrow, and the Southern Hundred is on in 2 weeks' time. The Royals on in 4 weeks' time, and in 5 weeks' time on Sunday, the Classic and MGP get underway. So lots to happen. Now, this story about vets in the UK doesn't entirely transpose over here, but it's worth saying that soaring vets bills are being blamed in the UK for a sharp rise in the number of pet owners reluctantly opting to have their animals put down because they're unable to pay for the required medical treatment at vet. Rising costs are linked to the acquisition of many independent practices by major international companies. So the situation on the Isle of Man, well, some local vets have been acquired by off-island entities, but when costs an issue for pet owners, the Manx SPCA can often intervene. I just wonder, if you are a pet owner, how are you finding vet bills at the moment? They seem to have ballooned over the past 10 years, certainly, as the options widen for treatment that you can have for your pet. If you're a pet owner and you've got an experience of a very, very big vet bill, I wonder if you wouldn't mind sharing it with us. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. In the meantime, this is Chris Baruch from the Manx SPCA.
We're very lucky that our veterinary practices over here, if they do have that a similar scenario with a client that's come in, most veterinary practices will actually put a Manx SPCA forward to them and say, you could rehome your pet, it could have another second life if it is financial issues. We've not seen many of that actually come through. We've seen other issues compared to financial costs instead.
However, this, I suppose, is something that the MSPCA must be concerned about, this, if you like, corporatisation of veterinary surgeons that's going on in the UK. It seems to be an increasing trend.
It is. Normally that man always gets it a little bit later down the line. So we always like to prepare if news like this from the UK starts happening. We like to have a foot in the door really for the animal side. We are on great terms with the veterinary practices. We're always here to make sure that we can help any pet owners with pet issues. We can put them into different guidance if they are having financial issues, and hopefully owners will think of us before they do have to make that decision. Legally though, a veterinary practice does have to continue the wishes of the owner. So if the owner does not wish to rehome the dog or the cat, the animal, unfortunately vets do have to carry out the owner's wishes.
Is it the case, do you think, that people are being put off having dogs and cats because of the soaring cost of vets bills?
We've seen a increase of dogs coming in for adoption, rehoming, and similar to cats as well. Our adoption rate is normal, has not necessarily gone up or down, but we have obviously had lots of response that it is quite costly. Our older dogs, which will obviously need further medication, they're going to get older and needs a little bit more work. They might have a chance of getting a better home, or they might stay with us a bit longer because there is a veterinary cost included in that. There are ways that we are trying to work around that for the adopters and the animals that do come into our care.
Any thoughts on this? If you are a dog owner or a cat owner. What's your experience? I'm well aware, just by anecdotal evidence, that vets' bills can now go into hundreds and hundreds of pounds, whereas that didn't used to be the case. And, of course, everybody's for people making a good living, and the vets train for an awful long time to become good at their job, and we have some fine vets on the Isle of Man. But this question about vets being purchased by off-island entities, I just wonder what you think about this. It's obviously that they're not breaking the law, but do you think it's good for the Isle of Man that you've got off-island entities owning businesses like, and a vet's is a business, but it is a humane business. They're there to look after pets and animals. Anyway, any thoughts on that? By all means, do get in touch. And did you see the story about businesses in Douglas, some of the issues facing businesses in Douglas? They say lack of parking, low footfall and crippling rates. Something that we've spoken about before, and the viability of our high streets, if you like, Parliament Street in Ramsey, Michael Street in Peel, Strand Street in Douglas and Duke Street, Castle Street. Parking is a big issue. Now, you may have heard in the news, it was Rachel Marsland from Terry's Tatoes on Strand Street. What have things been like for Terry's Tatoes?
We had been opening late on a Thursday, and the first time we did that was a really, really good response. And we did get, you know, a few weeks in a row where we were getting quite a few people. So it was going really, really well. But unfortunately, we've noticed a massive decline in that on a Thursday, and it's really not a viable option for us to keep going. But it's obviously incredibly difficult. We really want this business to work. It is really sad to think that, you know, the footfall, that is the biggest thing. Yeah, it is sort of soul destroying when you put so much time, money and effort into a business and to have this obvious decline.
There's no decision that's been made yet.
No. There's no decision that's been made yet to shut the business, but on the Thursday evenings, we've stopped the Thursday evenings. We have basically got like a 6-monthly review on our rent, and obviously the landlord is absolutely fantastic, but we need to make a decision probably before the end of August if we're going to continue for after March next year, because we need to give notice on the 1st of September if we are to close. From my sort of point of view, I definitely think, and talking to customers that come in, everyone really much says the same thing. It's like parking on the prom, they'd like to have more free parking.
A friend of mine's cat had a runny eye. I won't mention the bet, but a 5-minute consultation and a small bottle of eye drops was £90, says Paul in Castletown. £90, 5 minutes and a small bottle of eye drops. Paul calls that extortionate. I just wonder, and again, first, before anybody starts, we're not having to go at vets, because I know vets have got big insurance premiums to pay for themselves to stay in business. But things have shot up. If you own a vet now, is this the sort of push along the way to get everybody to get private pet insurance? Do you think that's what this is all about, really? If you have got a pet, you really have to get pet insurance, otherwise you could be hit with a massive bill, and obviously that could lead you down the way of perhaps putting the pet down. Anyway, thoughts on that? By all means, do get in touch. Regarding the situation in the high streets, since the 2012 survey, it said that Douglas needed more parking. The city fathers have gone out of the way to reduce the number of spaces with electric charging points and pointless extended pavements. I don't think that's much to do with Douglas councillors. That's more the Department of the Environment. When the prom was repurposed, shall we say, remodelled, it was obviously a conscious decision to get rid of parking spaces. Somebody somewhere decided there were going to be fewer parking spaces for Douglas. Quite now, of course, now the unofficial car park's closed. The old bus station has closed. So now there is a big shortage of car parking spaces, and everybody who needs to park in Douglas is walking from some of the free spaces. So it's only a matter of time before some of those get more regulated, and instead of being all-day-long spaces, will become two-hour spaces. Is this part of the trend, part of the programme to get people not to drive vehicles? Government's known that there was a critical shortage of street parking in Douglas since doing that survey of parking. Nothing has been done and parking has just been reduced, says 945. The only way to save our high streets is to reduce an online shopping tax and better parking, says correspondent 223. Is free parking something that people should expect, or is free parking a luxury? Nigel Tice runs the Matrix Arena in the Strand Shopping Centre, and he says he could be on the way. He could be moving premises after having recently relocated from Ballasalla.
It's only a possibility of moving, but no, it's not a closure. Footfall is low, which is then, domino effect causing us issues. So we have got to find another venue. It's just not sustainable where we are to carry on. That is a massive factor. When you are an entertainment business, 20% of everything you take goes to the VAT office. However, when you're not buying things in, yes, you get VAT back on rent and electricity and all that, but in an ideal world, that proportion of things is quite small. The rest of it is taken up with wages and things like that. And to lose 20% of everything that you take just to get 20% back on a small portion of it does seem hugely disproportionate. It's hugely disproportionate to take 20% of everything that we take. It's basically just a massive tax. It is killing small business.
That's Nigel from the Matrix Arena in the Strand Shopping Centre. Douglas City Council said they're always saddened to hear of any business experiencing difficulty and fully recognise the cost pressures that many are under, which is why they work hard to keep any rate rise as low as possible. It's also important to note that rates only make up a small proportion of the total operating costs in the city centre, with rent, utilities and other charges often having a bigger impact, many of which are beyond Douglas City Council's control. Of course, the council faces rising costs too, but they say they're committed to supporting the high street through Douglas City Centre management, helping to drive footfall and promote local businesses. It might be nice to hear from Douglas City Centre management how it is that they do that. And again, that correspondent earlier on saying online shopping, I just wonder how many people listening right now to Man in Line, perhaps you, were online after 10 o'clock last night and bought something. That wouldn't have happened 30 years ago. Couldn't do it. It just wouldn't have happened until the ubiquitous Amazon and eBay and stuff like that appeared. You had to physically go and buy something unless you had one of those postal catalogues. But now, it's there all the time, and it affects our local businesses. It affects our high streets. It affects our shopping streets. And the way that they look, if you've ever gone to the UK, certainly to England, you'll see their high streets have been hollowed out, completely hollowed out. You go down some previously flourishing high streets, and it alternates between coffee shop, building society, charity shop, barber, nail bar, back to a coffee shop. The previous shops have just gone. They've gone out of business. And it's something that may be on the way here. Certainly the rents affect the amount of businesses that we have in Strand Street, Duke Street and Castle Street, in Parliament Street, in Michael Street. I just wonder whether the little Isle of Man government could stand up to online commerce right around the world and introduce a tax just for the Isle of Man. It's a long shot, isn't it? So is there anything that we can do, apart from just saying, the shops should be better? How do we do it? Anyway, any thoughts on this? Lowest possible rate rises, I think. Douglas Council, I think their rates were way above inflation rises for the past 5 years. I think it's them looking after themselves. This is John on 404. And a note in regarding the education department we were talking about, it was a correspondent on 131 was just saying that regarding religious education and PSHE, in the week will be better if it's on a Monday. So if you've got any thoughts about what we were talking, you know, yesterday when the education department was in, we were also talking about culture, talking about the Villa Marina and the Gaiety Theatre. The two biggest venues on the Isle of Man are controlled by the government. There are smaller venues that are in private hands, but I just wonder if you've got any thoughts on that. Lots of messages to get to in just a few moments' time.
World-class racing returns to the Isle of Man. And while the Southern 100 racers take to the tracks, Tesco has everything you need to fuel your own adventure, wherever you're watching. From meal deals to barbecue essentials, we'll sort your pit stops this season. Setting up camp, get race day ready with great value camping gear. With 10 stores open 7 days a week, Tesco are here to keep you on track. Tesco, every little helps.
Corkill removals and storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer.
Yay!
Your movers are here.
They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
It's the Festival of Fun! Of music! And so much more. Yes, the Port Erin Beach Festival is back. Brought to you by Conister Bank. On Saturday the 12th and Sunday the 13th of July, there's fun for all the family, even the dog. Take a trip on the motorised tram. Relax with beach yoga. Show off your skills with sandcastle competitions, beach football and the legendary Scruffs Dog Show. Or take to the water with junior sailing, paddleboarding, aquabikes and trips around the bay. Plus live music, food stalls and much, much more. The Port Erin Beach Festival, 12th to the 13th of July. Supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
I'm Fiona McArdle. I'd like to welcome you to Shachlay.
We're building resources for the Year of the Manx Language during 2026.
Ardvru Innocent, Oda G and Huel the Bay Curit for Hera.
Tabicor and Huel Shaw for Hera.
Spread the Manx language around like a linguistic rush.
Excellent. Yes, and anyone can have a scratch at it.
They can.
You can find out more by joining Fiona McArdle for Shachlay today at 5:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes past 12. It's regarding the 20 miles per hour, says Paul. Just to let you know, I know somebody who, in the south of the Isle of Man, parked on a road that was 30 miles per hour and never had a problem. They made it 20 miles per hour, and the other week somebody crashed into the back of their car. Couldn't make it up. Thank you, 008. H says, this is 008 again, who just says, if you want a dog, you should pay for it. Simple, says H. Yeah, yes, H, and what's your point? We all know that's what should happen. However, times seem to have changed. And you may have bought a dog or a cat or anything else 5, 6, 7-odd years ago when vets' bills were a lot less, and suddenly times have changed. It might be nice. If you know for the answer, by the way, then by all means do get in touch. Vets are like MHKs and plumbers. You never see one on a pushbike, do you? Says 762. I don't quite know what your point is. We're trying to find out why vets' bills have gone up. Is it because the pet insurance business is what it is now? And whenever insurance companies get in, of course, there will be money to be made. And the fact that in the UK, now we've not heard here, but it's a UK problem that they have. Vets have found a lot more people are taking their dogs and cats to be put down because they simply can't afford the vet's bills. There was much debate recently about the speed limits, the consultation on the Heath Health Levy, I beg your pardon, seems to have gone under the radar. My concerns are that without a significant rethink, ManxCare will simply waste even more money. And there's still been no explanation about who will finance the unfunded assisted dying bill. It shouldn't be via ManxCare funding, specifically a health levy, says Gary. You're quite right, Gary. That's kind of disappeared off the radar, isn't it? A lot of pet insurance companies are owned by the same equity firms that own vets, says Sharon in St John's. And the poor old pet owner, of course, has to pay. Everybody wants to do the best for their pet, to have those baleful eyes looking at you, but it just seems to have gone up. Big mistake altering the prom, says Tony. I used to go to town quite often, but it's difficult to find a parking space now. I'm sorry to say it's online shopping for me mostly, and grocery shopping is Tesco, which I'm not keen on, but they have plenty of parking, says Tony. Of course, it did used to be ShopRite, but of course, ShopRite have now gone. In fact, a while ago, wasn't it, the ShopRite went. So we, and the point about this is that there really is no point in moaning after the fact. The prom was changed specifically. Somebody somewhere knew that they were taking spaces off the promenade. And we don't know who specifically that was, but somebody said there will be less parking. And there is less parking. Consequently, lots of people are cruising up and down the prom two, three, four times to find a parking space, going around the Randall, back to the sea terminal, here, there and everywhere. If you do park in Douglas, you'll have your favourite space and you'll know it. But if there is less parking, my question is, what then? If this is having an impact on businesses, then surely somebody somewhere needs to take the responsibility. 951 says, I think our glorious new prom has 150 plus parking spaces, fewer than it had. I'd heard it was about 60. We've never really had a firm view from the government as to how many parking spaces actually went on the prom. It might be nice to know. I just wonder if you have any thoughts on this. Oh, Robert's with us first. Hi, Robert.
Gosh, I'm straight on.
You're here.
Right, you've got me there. I thought I'd have a chat with the guy beforehand.
Anything okay, on your mind, Robert?
Well, I was going to talk about the nature of AI, and it just seems to be chewing gum for the eyes, chewing gum for the ears, bloody annoying at times on social, and living up to his name as being a bit of a nuisance, really.
It's a bit late now to be moaning about it. It's with us now. It's going to be with us for a long, long time.
I think it is, but I mean, I'm not saying it's going to go away or anything like that, but I mean, in terms of like mind mapping and giving options and all the different apps that they have for it. It just seems to be an options generator.
In what way?
I thought about doing this. Well, it gives you more options to do. So, say, for example, if you wanted to say, let's create a political party or something like that, it'll give you options as to what names you can use and things like that, you know.
Well, I mean, there are more lines. Threatening users of AI. I mean, one of the big jobs that they say AI is going to take away is accountants. So if anybody's currently thinking about training to be an accountant, they're saying that accountancy will be done by AI in the future. So, I mean, there's the entertainment side of AI where it'll do things for you and it'll, you know, make people look like other people. But AI, they say, is, I mean, it's been around for years and years and years. It's just now swinging into the mainstream.
I think it's going to affect a lot of things as well because, you know, we are talking kind of like those 1950s images of what the future is going to be. But I think robots are going to play a big part. But I mean, we're getting a bit Japanese, aren't we? Big in Japan and things like that. But I mean, it's definitely on the books that, you know, AI and robots are going to do it. They were saying that hairdressers you know, are you going to go into a hairdresser and book in to see a robot instead of a hairdresser?
Well, I can't see that. I don't think there'll ever be a hairdresser that can wash anybody's hair. And they reckon all the hands-on treatments that AI won't have any effect on. So anything that requires somebody to do something with their hands, so nursing and stuff like that, you wouldn't really trust a robot at that. And also, of course, it has to be said that they're trying it in radio in certain places by cloning voices.
Do you think it's affecting the music, the actual generation of hits and things like that?
Here's an interesting thing for you, Robert. I don't know how much of a music fan you are, but they reckon there have been no new bands in the past 10 years that have had hit records. So that means any band that is around today started more than 10 years ago. That in itself, if you're into music and if you like music, that surely is a worrying trend.
Well, I've got another one for you. I was looking at, I get a bit technical now, but I was looking at areas that... You're right about the pop thing, but I mean, I was looking at areas that could enable a new app or something like that to get into the space of media or Spotify or something like that, or do something else. And they think all of those areas have been covered now and the internet's pretty much done. You know, they call it software as a service. They think all the areas are covered.
Well, it will be interesting to know. I mean, the thing to be in now is...
They don't think anything new is going to come out. What you've got is what you've got, so it's going to be like this for the next 50 years.
Well, we'll see. You never know. There could be some sort of revolution. There could be some sort of... Maybe everybody will go back to just wanting live music. You never know, do you?
I don't know. It'd be a while since we entered the Cuba stage, but I mean, you never know.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right.
Good luck. I'll
appreciate it.
Soon.
All right. Thanks for calling today, Robert. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just want to thank the new commissioner for Onken, who was elected there the other day, although it was an uncontested election. But that's fine. John Gibson from the park. I won't give his address down, but I'm sure he'll be on the commissioner's website next week, and we got a meeting on Monday, so it'll be nice to see what his thoughts are and what he thinks to I'm just talking, Andy, before I get into trouble, is I'm talking as an individual now, as not a statement anything to do with the commissioners or whatever ever like that. That'll keep the chairman happy, because believe it or not, they're monitoring me and you on Manx Radio.
Hello, Onken. Hello, Onken. Are you listening? Any Onken commissioner is more than welcome to come on Man in Line. More than happy. We've had Castletown on. We've had Ramsey on. We've had Douglas on. Onken, come on, Onken.
Yeah. And I just can't believe it. But anyway, I'll talk to you in a few weeks about that when I get things sorted out. And I need to get the nature of the complaints out into the open to find out who it is and where was it lying, and find out, is there any truth in what they're trying to say? But even an accused man that's in the dock has to know what's somebody's been accused of. I may be forthright and talk to a lot of people, and people have a lot of issues, and I like to try and get things done. We've had success over the bush shelter report, Jack. We haven't... Well, the telephone box has been slightly refurbished. We just want the ground a bit more tidier. And I just want to have another little thing about where the government own M&Co. Do you know, down... You're talking about the town now.
Yeah.
What are they doing with that? It's a large building that taxpayers own. And at the end of the day, I always believe that taxpayers own all these buildings. And the politicians are just custodial people for the time being.
Yeah.
But what have they to market that? Nothing.
Well, you just wonder, don't you, whether it's, whether government is there to enable private enterprise. I mean, surely government shouldn't be in competition with private enterprise, should it?
No. But we've got this the housing board. We've got all these other things they're trying to do. They're going to come out in the future. Is to say, and will it be the pop up to the population? I'm sure they'll be. Why are we doing this? Why are we inventing a housing authority when we've got local authorities? In my opinion, who are housing authorities. So why reinvent the wheel and spend more money on doing something else? But I just wondered, the other thing I was going to throw in too, because I haven't done it for a little while, two things actually. Lancaster Road, the guy that was, it's not my constituency, but I try to help people out while giving them some advice, and maybe you're not always right, but there's more little camper vans now at Lancaster Road than there ever was now. And the other one that's with its back axle down is still there by the substation at the front. And then the other one, Andy, is, the big one is, the stables down near Summerhill Road onto the prom. The scaffolding. How long can we afford to have that scaffolding up where the taxpayers are paying for it and nothing's being done? And anybody in the right mind would say to you, or the owners of it, which that technically is the government and all these politicians, nobody's mentioning, what are we doing with it? Is there a plan? Because don't forget, they got caught in the, after the Newsom's thing, they got caught in the thing because it was a building that was had some merit in it. And they got caught and they had to be stopped from pulling it down. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
And why can't we have a practical reason on, A, is the building worth keeping? B, would it look nice if it had a modern frontage on it and was livable? And that's my thoughts into the future is, it's no good having an old castle if you can't live in it and you can't enjoy your life in it. You know, and okay, it's probably a sorry situation, but at the end of the day, but maybe I'll be talking to you in the future and maybe I'll be excommunicated. Okay. Cheers, boy.
Thanks for calling today. It's 22 minutes before one. Craig just dropped me a note in to say, have we got any cruisers coming? Yes. It's the 10th today, isn't it? Thursday the 10th. Tomorrow, Friday the 11th and Sunday the 15th. We've got, let me see, Viking Cruisers here. Viking Jupiter here tomorrow. Viking Vela on Sunday. Next Wednesday, it's the Corinthian. The Corinthians here, Wednesday 16th and Monday 21st as well. So, yes, plenty more of them coming. I'm a full-time carer for my husband, so I can't hang on the phone. This is Linda. We didn't get to this, Linda, yesterday, but this is very interesting. So I hope you can get an answer on the problems. We'd like to keep physically and mentally fit. We've attended classes at the NSC for the last 10 years and would go to the Villa Gaiety. My other half has progressed from a stick to a walking frame to a wheelchair. And we rarely get a disabled parking spot at the NSC, which if you're physically disabled means you can't get in and out of a car in a normal spot. We've given up going to the Villa Gaiety because we can't get a disabled parking spot, even when we go an hour before the performance. There are more people with disabilities now than there are parking spaces. Any suggestions? We didn't get to that yesterday. We ran out of time, Linda. But I'm just hoping that if anybody else is in that particular situation, the lack of disabled parking spaces around government buildings, around the NSC, around the Villa Gaiety area, where do you park if you are a disabled badge holder? And how often do you actually get a space? And Mark with us. Hi, Mark.
All right, fella. How you doing?
Very well, very well.
Don't say anything about the weather.
Oh, right, OK. I'll keep quiet.
Good man, good man. Two little things, only two little tiny ones, so you can get back to your main problems. First of all, do you not think it's about time somebody in the government actually did a survey? You know, just pop around and spot check these disabled badges, because I saw a Ferrari in Tesco's with a disabled badge. Now, I tell you one thing, if you're disabled and A, you can afford a Ferrari, and B, you can drive one, you must have a very, very minor ailment.
I wonder what that is. There was somebody, I think last week, there was a young lady, I think, came on and said that she's got a particular disability. It's a physical disability that didn't manifest itself and made she look quite normal, as it were. She got some grief by parking in a disabled space. She had a disabled badge, but lots of people think she wasn't disabled because she seemed okay. I can't remember particularly what the disability was, but it was something. It was kind of neurological. That was it.
See, I can't understand why the relevant department. I think it's managed by the Department of Infrastructure, but I could be wrong there. Why they can't say to the traffic wardens, if you're walking past a disabled person's badge, just ask to look at it. Because the law as it stands is if you are driving the car and the photograph on the badge is not you, you shouldn't be using it. The person on the badge, the photograph on the badge, has to be in the car or with the car.
I've never heard of anybody recently who's been done for parking at a disabled space, and that's one of the things I have to say that gets my goat, in that there are people who park really right up to disabled spaces, both sides. Yeah. So anybody with a disability simply can't reverse in or drive in straight away. And I just don't understand why. And there's supposed to be a fine for it. It says, you know, if you park in the disabled bay, you will get fined. And I can't.
Exactly.
I'd love to know if anybody's ever been done for it.
I've never heard of anyone. But anyway, just before I go, the last little tiny thing. David Quirk, you just had him on. Prattling on about Lancaster Road again. Now I have to say this, Andy. What's it got to do with him? He's an Onken commissioner. Lancaster Road is not, never has been, and never will be in Onken. I used to work for Douglas Corporation. I used to work for the Warden Department. They are well aware of that particular camper van in Lancaster Road, and they are regularly being in touch with the person who owns it. And the law is quite specific. It doesn't matter what the thing looks like. As long as he's got the road tax on it, he can leave it there until the thing blows up. So I don't understand why David Quirk has to put his nebby in when it's got nothing to do with it.
So is that the ruling? It doesn't matter what it looks like. If you've got doesn't it have to be roadworthy? Do all four tyres have to be pumped up or...
Well, not according to the DOI. According to the DOI, as long as you've got road tax, if you've got road tax and insurance, you can actually leave whatever you like on the road. Whether or not it's roadworthy, he's paid the road tax.
Right.
And the road tax allows him to park on a road. And that's as simple as that. I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
And you agree it's wrong, and David Quirk knows it's wrong. But that's the law.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought it had to be roadworthy. But as long as you're
That's what you pay your road tax for, so you can actually park or drive on a main road.
Right. Okay. All right. Appreciate that, mate. Mark. Thanks
for
calling.
Have a good one, and yeah. See you later, mate.
It's now 17 minutes before one on Manx Radio. And let me get to these messages. And this one says, where are we? Hello. Let's have a look. The hit band Wet Leg was formed in 2019. There's probably more, says Neil. There are, but the AI thing is it's a whole question on its own, the amount of jobs that they say AI is going to take. But certainly, as far as the music industry is concerned, don't even get me onto auto-tune or Melodyne and the fact that you can correct people who can't sing and make out that they can sing, but I suppose that's been happening for ages. Are you saying that getting rid of accountants is a bad thing? Says, well, it would be if you're an accountant, Desmond. I'm sure if you were an accountant, you wouldn't like to hear the fact that AI is going to replace the accountancy profession. Regarding the promenade parking 667, now we don't have a central parking along Loch Promenade as we used to across the tram lines in the winter months. There's a massive loss of parking spaces. Blame the green environmentalists for the active travel program for, say, 50% decline in footfall in Strand Street. That's Andy's opinion. Well, if the active travel plan is going to come, I mean, if it is going to come, then surely we have to have something quite specific, something that we know is going to happen in the future rather than just taking away parking spaces because somebody thinks that's good for us. I mean, that's social engineering. That's somebody trying to alter our behaviour by changing the number of parking spaces very quietly in the background, they're changing our way of life. It might be nice to know if there's a specific reason for it. And what next? If they take away the parking, what next? Regarding the health levy, as I understand it, says Mrs. Sian Ramsey, we're not going to be taxed on our savings, that's capital. So we get taxed on earnings, taxed on interest, and now just for having savings. I'm not at all impressed with this, says Mrs. Sian Ramsey. Here's a note that just said there are hundreds of bikes on the Isle of Man for the Southern Hundred. So are the Highway Department closing the mountain on Tuesday and Wednesday? This work could have been done last week. I think it's great planning. Oh, sarcastic. Great planning, says 499. And a message in that just says, I love to shop locally, says B, I love to shop locally and to browse shops in our high streets, but I prefer this to online shopping. The greatest challenge since the Promd redevelopment is the significant, probably 50% reduction of free nearby parking. This combined with the recent closure of Lord Street is a further tax on local shoppers. Government, councils, commissioners, local town development agencies just don't seem to be joined up here. Government's drive to make car transport unattractive isn't practical for everyone. Some of us need to use our vehicles to get to town and don't want to pay high local council parking fees for the privilege. I tend now to use Timwell Mills just to avoid town centre parking charges and the woes that go with it. Thank you, B. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that note. I think people should be means tested before they can have pets or pets insurance, says Claire T. That's a joke, isn't it, Claire?
Down at the Southern Hundred Races this year. Why not pop into S&S Motors, your local EVF one-stop shop for fuel and so much more. S&S Motors, supporters of the Southern Hundred Races.
Corkill and Callow are the longest-serving funeral directors on the island, relied upon during the most difficult times. We understand that nobody wants to arrange a funeral. That's what we're here for. Our small, friendly team are here to support you, making a challenging time more manageable. With our base in Ramsey and opening soon in Ballasalla, let us take care of everything so that you can focus on what matters most. Call Corkill and Callow on 855 354.
Welcome to the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Miller Chaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
All right, Paul, you're looking relaxed. You finally booked that trip?
Yep, used some of the savings I locked in with Guernsey's Bank Skipton last year. Great interest rate and they made it so easy.
Oh, Skipton? I've been meaning to sort mine.
Do it! You'll get proper customer service too.
With market-leading savings rates and service that puts people first, Skipton International is here to help you feel secure, whatever you're saving for. For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
The 2025 Island Games get underway this weekend and Manx Radio will be bringing you all the action from Orkney. From the 12th to the 18th of July, Manx Radio's live Island Games blog will give you all the updates as and when they happen, with medals, developments, interviews and more. So, if you're following Team Isle of Man at this year's Island Games, make sure to head on over to our dedicated Island Games live blog at manxradio.com. We'll also have all the latest interviews and important updates on the Manx Radio Sports Hub, also at manxradio.com. Your nation station, the home of the 2025 Island Games.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Dog Mother. Thank you, Dog Mother, who just said, we're very fortunate that our vets' prices are about a third less than most island vets. Question is why? Maybe because there are no big companies demanding profits. I don't imagine our vets are losing money. They just don't rip people off. I won't name names. Most people will know who I mean, says a Dog Mother. Well, the fact that some island vets have now been bought up by off-island concerns will make you think, why would anybody off the Isle of Man want to buy a vet on the Isle of Man? it hardly smacks of community. And, you know, I'm all for capitalism. It's great. It's how we live. But really, we are a community. So you just wonder whether that's going to affect the price of treatment for pets. Just an observation on the increase in rates for Douglas businesses. If Douglas City Council hadn't spent so much money in becoming a city, it wouldn't need to increase the rates as much. I don't understand why it needed to be a city, to be honest, said Ian. Well, they applied for it. And I don't think it wasn't this particular regime, this administration. I think it might have been the previous one. It may have even been when Mr. Christian was in charge. So they applied for it. And whether or not they thought they'd get it, who knows? But they got it. So everything has had to be changed. It is a city now. What's happened? Well, they've changed Henry Bloom Noble Library to Douglas City Library. That's one thing that's happened. As for the development people, the people that make Douglas tick, well, the floor is theirs. If they want to come in and just tell us how Douglas is going to be better, obviously things are going to improve when that hotel's finished. That's going to be just before TT 2027. I believe the Travel Lodge is going to be open just before TT 2027. Presumably that huge building will be finished. Quite what they're going to do with that iron skeleton behind there, and how they go, whoever's in charge of that, whoever owns it, whoever's got plans for it, what they're going to do with that, who knows? Because they certainly won't get any building vehicles in behind that tiny street by Fort Street. So they'll have to be doing it from Duke Street, which means Duke Street will have to be closed, presumably. Just a thought. Our shops on the Isle of Man charge 30 to 40% more for exactly the same stuff as in the UK. We'll wait till we're in the UK and get a suitcase worth of stuff, says 654. People have done that for years. That's true. However, if you were in business in the Isle of Man, if you were a retailer in the Isle of Man, what would you do? If you need to make a living, if you need to pay rent, rates, electricity, bills, wages, staff costs, insurance, what would you do? Somebody somewhere's got to operate the shops. And if the shops go, what do we do then? Do you miss ShopRite? Do you miss Ramsay Bakery? A five-minute consultation, £53. No meds for the cat. 4 years ago, the cat's still going strong. I didn't opt for the £400 for the x-ray, says Liz D. Our glorious new prom, again, this is 951. Somebody's telling me, 150 less car parking space. Is that true? Did we lose? I heard it was about 60-odd, 70 on the promenade. A lot less free car parking than there used to be. And somebody knew that was going to happen. So that was somebody's idea. And quite what they thought would happen, who knows? Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I've just pulled up. Are there any caveats on the planning permission for these places? What you've just mentioned, the birdcage in Duke Street.
I think they just have to keep doing something every now and again, because every few months you'll suddenly find somebody in there banging a shovel around as though they're doing something. So I think that keeps the planning active as long as they do something every once in a while.
Yeah, well, this both times they say somebody stepped in there because this must be its third year. They're having an anniversary for it.
Oh, at least.
It's an eyesore, and, you know, it's worse than what was there originally now. And they're going to have to seriously look at the steelwork when they come to do the rest of the building, because it's been exposed for the best part of 2.5 years.
Yeah, and as I say, because the Tavir people are going hell for leather now on that hotel on the front and everything, and the officers and what have you, that's going to go. So they're absolutely going ahead with that. So you won't get a truck down that back road, would you?
No. As you say rightly, it's going to have to be done largely from Regent Street.
Yeah.
So half of that will have to be shelled off. And I don't know whether those blocks that are in there will take the continuous extreme weight of vehicles in there.
Well, something has to be done, and you would hope that somebody, whether it's Douglas City Council, whether it's the enterprise people or somebody, is in touch with the owners and the developers of that particular site. We're talking about the old KFC thing there. To do something with it, because otherwise we're going to be backed into a corner again.
Yep, and it's going to be like down on the South Quay where there's nothing getting done, and they're just increasing in, in value all the time, but nothing being done to value the town, city of Douglas. And I think that was Claire Wells' idea. I think David had retired before this was mooted for the city.
Right, okay.
Along with the promenade, $1.5 million, and Shaw's Brew, $1.5 million. So there's $3 million plus interest that's gone on the rates in the last year.
Crikey. Okay. All right. Yep. Well, we watch and we wait then. Thanks, Howard.
Okay, take care.
If AI is going to be programmed by the likes of certain people in government, then what's going to happen? Well, you never know. Regarding the 20-mile-per-hour zones, right at the top of Ballabruby Way, a conspicuous post has been planted 20 feet from the stop junction. Seems to be far too close to a junction where traffic's already slowing and stopping, or just about to speed up going down there. Waste of time, says Jay. And a note in from Peter, who just said, too much street furniture with extra signs going up if they're going to go up for these 20-mile-per-hour limits. More street furniture is not good for our environment, and surely if they want to make our environment better, is what Michelle Haywood said, we need less street furniture. It's no good for disabled people, mobility scooters, or the visually impaired. The less street furniture, the better. Right, that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Back tomorrow with another Open Line. Enjoy your Thursday.
WINT